DW.
The Israeli government blames Hamas front and centre, and it says they incited people to come to the fence. In fact, they paid some people to come and take part in these protests. And then they put militants in amongst peaceful protesters, as they have every one of the preceding 6 weeks, say the Israeli government. And you could see the militants coming down to the fence. And the Israeli government was quite clear, you know, 1203, men with guns approach Israeli soldiers. 1206, men with guns try to put a bomb at the fence. So that's the Israeli government position. And I think the Israeli people believe their government. And they know that if really 50,000 people try to cross that fence, they are powerless, Israeli soldiers, unless they gun everyone down. So they don't want to do that. That's the Israeli government line. And I think what they are fearful of, and what the Israeli people are fearful of, is that if there was a fence crossing, then it would be followed by either an attack by militants at one of the border settlements, the kibbutzim or the towns there, and the kidnapping of Israeli civilians or soldiers. And they're fearful of that because that's what the Hamas leadership has said it's aiming for.
There has, of course, been widespread international condemnation of the Israeli response at the border, with some describing the scenes as a massacre. The US has in turn praised Israel for its restraint. What's your take on this? Those are two very different assessments, aren't they?
Yes, and the truth must be somewhere between the two, because in the end, 62 people did lose their lives. And even if there was restraint on behalf of the Israeli military, as the US claims, that's still a very high death toll. Now, there can be very many reasons for that, and that can include the behaviour of Hamas on the other side. But the range of opinions and the amount of condemnation, I guess it's also part of the difference between the military might on each side. So you see people armed with rocks and firebombs fighting a 21st century army. It looks like an exchange between a 19th century army and a 21st century army.
Are you anticipating the violence to continue or maybe even spread to the West Bank?
Well, it hasn't so far. So we saw that on the day that there were these huge demonstrations at the Gaza border fence, you didn't see anything on that scale in the West Bank. And some Palestinian analysts say it's because the people in Gaza have nothing to lose, whereas the people in the West Bank do have more of a life to lose. And that feeds into a whole argument inside Israel and the international community about how Gaza should be managed, because it is now a failing state, and that also is part of what all these protests were about. It wasn't just a desire to return to ancestral homelands. It was also a protest about the quality of life that they have in the Gaza Strip.
Broader speaking, Iris, US President Donald Trump's decision to move the US embassy to Jerusalem and his decision to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal, they've certainly changed the dynamic in the region, haven't they? From an Israeli perspective, were these bad decisions?
I would say this has been a very good month for Benjamin Netanyahu, because Benjamin Netanyahu, the keynote of his prime ministership has been Iran. He's more focused on Iran than he is on the closer Palestinian issue. So when Donald Trump agreed to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal, using almost the words of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, it was just a victory for him. Interesting discussion about what impact it will actually have and if the situation is better or worse. But in his view, this is a good decision. And so he's on a bit of a roll.
Especially, I mean, we've got Iran's growing influence in countries bordering on Israel, right? And notably in Syria, where, I mean, that's one of the main concerns for the Israeli government right now, isn't it? And Netanyahu, he has stressed that it would be better to fight Iran now than later. Do you think the majority of Israelis would back a war with Iran now?
It's a very complicated subject, and I have read a number of Israeli analysts saying that if the Prime Minister is taking this country to war, there has to be a very clear discussion about the costs, the benefits, and what is what they call here the victory picture. What will Israel get out of a war? Hmm. Having said that, there is a general understanding that what Iran is building inside Syria would be a second Hezbollah. In fact, maybe even more dangerous for Israel, because what Iran is seeking is the capacity, for example, to have factories which build precision-guided missiles and build them in huge numbers. And that would be a leap that Israel says it cannot live with. It's simply too dangerous for it to have Iran on the border building weapons that can take out half the Israeli population. It would also mean that Israel would be fighting on two fronts in northern war. There is a lot of discussion here about what the next northern war would look like, because in the past, when there was a war with Lebanon, Syria sat it out. Mm-hmm. So Israel was on that border, and it knew that the nearby northern border was neutral. That's not going to be the case in any future war.
Iris, the State of Israel marked its 70th birthday this year, and Israel has fought at least one war every decade since then. Is this new crisis just business as usual for Israelis, or does it have a new quality, in your opinion?
I think people here are used to living in a state of where an attack is imminent, but nevertheless not likely. So they know they're surrounded by enemies. I've even spoken, interviewed someone who said that this is the reason for the creativity and the innovation and the startup nation. All those things actually feed in on this feeling that you have to live for now because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I'm not sure if this is different in quality. At the beginning of each of the previous times of tension, everyone here does suffer. There's no doubt about that. So I think at the times when the tension is a little less close, then you live a vibrant life if you can. And then it comes back. No one here, I think, ever really relaxes. DW.